Had talked about different people who've had maybe difficult times the last few weeks or great times the last few weeks or even like mid times. I appreciate that. One thing that a scripture that we like to quote here is that we rejoice with those who rejoice, we mourn with those who mourn. And today on Mother's Day, we acknowledge that it's kind of a loaded day for a lot of people. There's lots of different emotions. Maybe for you it feels like pure joy. Great, we rejoice with you. For you, maybe you're here mourning, and we get that, we mourn with you. Or somewhere, if it's really complicated, we understand that. So today we do have a gift for all women here. So anybody who's a woman, ages zero and up, can go out. And at the end of the service out in the lobby, there's a gift for all women here to you, just as a way of saying, we love you, we appreciate you women, and we want to bless you today. So wherever you are. So we want to acknowledge that. Today is message number two in this series we're doing called Bless. Now, what Bless is, it's a we would say maybe an evangelism strategy. Evangelism has a lot of different connotations. It really means spreading the good news. And what that looks like, so we've taken this strategy, which is an acronym, BLESS. The B stands for begin with prayer. The L stands for listen. The E is for eat. The first S is for serve. And the second S is for share stories. So last week we started with the B. And we talked about how it's really crucial to begin with prayer, but also to share, if we're going to share Christ, to do it in a way that actually blesses. So when we begin with prayer, and we looked at Jesus, and there were some Pharisees who begin with prayer, but they began with prayer looking down on everyone else. And that is not what we want to do. So if you are here today, you're not a Christian or you're not a churchgoer, we want to say we respect you. We don't see you as a project. Obviously, you don't have to listen to anything that's said here, but we just really appreciate you. We believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that Jesus gives us life to the full, and we want that for everyone. But you're free to disagree. If you are a Christian here, you have to agree with me. I'm just kidding. You do not have to agree with things that are said here. We have space for disagreements. So we don't all think the same. We don't agree about everything the same, and that's okay. We can disagree about things. So that's one of the, I think, the beautiful things about the gospel is that it doesn't make us agree about everything, but if we receive God's mercy, we can have space, even if disagreements, and we can let other people disagree, and we can still all be friends and love each other. Sound good? All right, so looking at begin with prayer, the Sadducees looked down on others when they began with prayer. We do not want to do that. And Jesus talked about when we begin with prayer, we begin with our Father. So we begin with a posture of humility towards God. So humility is very vitally important in this idea of blessing other people, that we're praying to our Father. And instead of being superior towards others, like the Pharisees were, we're starting our need towards God who loves us and recognizing someone who's greater and seeking him to answer our prayers. So we talked about begin with prayer. When we're beginning with prayer for others, we begin with a posture of humility. And as we pray for others, the Lord will use it to help teach us to be kind to other people, because kindness is essential for blessing other people, is to be people who are kind. So today we go to listen. And instead of starting with the Pharisees like we did last week, we're going to switch over to right after Jesus had a conflict with another religious group, because there's religious groups he kept conflicting with. This time it was a group called the Sadducees. So after their conflict that Jesus has with the Sadducees, this happens. And we're going to go to Mark 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. That's Jesus with the Sadducees. And he noticed, I love this word here, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, this teacher of the law, he's different. Now, a lot of the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they were very partisan. They weren't asking Jesus questions they weren't open to the truth. They weren't allowing for any sort of disagreement. They were asking questions to use him against him. And their conclusions were already in. Either they'd already decided there's something wrong with Jesus. So when they'd ask him a question, they didn't really care what he had to answer. They were just listening. Is there something we can use against him in what he says? But this teacher of the law actually noticed that Jesus gave a good answer. And that's something that's really important. It shows that he had some sort of openness in him, that he was willing to listen to Jesus despite his partisan people saying, this is a bad teacher. You know, don't listen to anything that he says. You know, he's a threat to us. But this guy noticed that Jesus had given a good answer. And then he did what can really happen in humility. He heard a good answer, and then he asked a good question. And the question that he asked here is, hey, I've noticed something about you. You gave a good answer last time. I'm going to ask you a really good question. Out of all the commandments, and they had 600 and some commandments that they'd identified in the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament, 600 and some, out of all those, which is the most important? So that is the question that he asked Jesus. And so Jesus answered, Mark 12:29. The most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, Jesus is starting here with something that is called the Shema. Now, the Shema was something that for couple thousand years, and it's still going on today, but for a couple thousand years at this point, a lot of Jewish people had prayed morning and evening the Shema. And the Shema starts like this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now Jesus was going to keep going, and we're not going to do that quite yet, but the reason why they called it the Shema was because the first word of this statement, Shema, It was the Hebrew Shema, which means hear or listen. It's kind of like a lot of Roman Catholics will call, we usually here call it the Lord's Prayer. A lot of Roman Catholics will say, Our Father. It's kind of the same deal. Like it starts with Our Father, and I think Our Father is a good name for that prayer. So the people of Israel called the Shema because the first word in Hebrew was listen, hear. So I want to let that kind of sink in because that word Shema means hear, listen, pay attention to, focus on. This is really important. And so let's go to the next part. Jesus continues on the Shema, but it starts with Shema, hear, listen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now here, Jesus, he continues the Shema, but he starts with hear. And as he goes on, he talks about loving God. And you can read the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4. Jesus adds a word and something like, that's Hebrew. This is written in Greek. But Jesus adds the word mind. That's not in the original Greek, but maybe it's to explain. But then he adds something else. He adds another command, and that is to explain, to make sure, make it really clear what loving the Lord our God means, and that is, the second being like it was, love your neighbor as yourself. So there's no greater, that everything can be summed up in those two things, according to Jesus, that it's loving God, the Shema is listen. The Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with everything, all that you have. And just so you know what that means, to be really clear, it's loving your neighbor as yourself, that is a big part of it. So, bless. Now, the Shema begins with the word listen or hear. But the bless strategy, that's listen isn't the first one, it's actually the second. And that's really the way acronyms work, right? So we'll go ahead and throw that bless graphic up again, but the L is for listen. Listen is the second one. Have you ever heard of the attention economy? Now, what the attention economy basically is describing is that attention, people's attention is seen as a commodity. So this works in lots of different ways, but it's basically the way of advertising too. Advertising is an attempt to get people's attention. So for the Super Bowl has high ratings. That means lots of people are watching it on television. Lots of people are giving it their attention. So those ads cost a lot of money because what they're paying for is all the attention that's coming at that commercial, because if you capture people's attention, then you can sell something to them in the attention economy. It works like this on social media, where influencers that can garner lots of attention, they can monetize that, so their platforms or advertisers will pay attention to how much attention they're getting, how many views, and then they will give them money based on how much attention they're getting. So in the attention economy, capturing attention is valuable. Even the former CEO of Netflix once said that Netflix's chief competition is, anybody know? Sleep. It's sleep, because Netflix, a lot of their market is at night. How long can we keep their attention? Because the more attention we get, the more eyeballs. We're competing with other streaming services, but we're competing with sleep, because sleep competes for our attention. And that's how the attention economy works. Even right now, almost all of us, I'm one of them, have a phone in our pocket. Probably some of us are getting notifications, and where our phones are buzzing, and it's competing for our attention with different notifications or messages trying to gain our attention. We see this over and over, where there's a competition for attention. And a lot of times the people who are really good at getting attention will get rewarded monetarily for it. So people are paying for your attention. You know that, right? People are paying to try to get it. Not only that, so in this attention economy, attention is a scarce commodity, because we can get distracted or put our attention on so many different things. But the other thing is, so many people are looking for someone who will pay attention to them. So just as people are paying for our attention, a lot of times a good therapist who will give us attention, we got to pay for that, usually. And therapy can be a great thing, and having somebody listen is very valuable. And a lot of times a therapist costs between $100 to $250 for 45 minutes to an hour a session. So attention is it's a commodity. So all that to say is, listen may seem like a kind of a weak thing, but listening is attention, and attention is valued even in our economy. And we're talking about this not to monetize it or not to take advantage of it, but to realize that if you give your attention to someone, there's value to that. It is a potentially a valuable gift that you're giving when you give someone your attention. Think about someone who you enjoy talking with. You got somebody pictured? All right, so think of that person. Now, odds are that person that you enjoy talking with, that person is probably a pretty good listener. Now, it's fun to maybe talk with people who are great storytellers sometimes. You can be both a great storyteller and a good listener. And a lot of times we're impressed with the great talkers. Like even now, this is a monologue, basically, and I'm aware of that. Like it's a monologue. And people, we can be impressed by them sometimes, or we can be influenced by great talkers. But people who really listen, they're the ones who have real potential to bless us. Not to say that talkers don't, but good listeners can really be a blessing. So as we think about this, because again, that's our second part of the plan, the blessed plan, begin with prayer, and then we go to listen, because we want to be people who listen to other people. We want to be people who can give our attention to other people. We're going to go to something that Jesus' brother said. His name is James, and he wrote this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Now, this isn't exactly the Shema. He doesn't say, hear, O Israel, or hear, O... But it's similar. He's saying, take note of this. Pay attention to this. What I'm about to say, it's worthy of you paying attention to. So he starts kind of similar-ish to the Shema. And then he goes on to say, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now that, it might seem in our culture like the ones who are quick to speak are the ones who have all the value. We pay for people to give their hot takes. We pay for people to react immediately. We get entertained by people who can react quickly, talk quickly. But here, James is saying be quick to listen. So maybe he's not showing us the way to be a great influencer to maximize the attention economy, but he's showing us the way to bless people. Because the way of Jesus sometimes is countercultural. But he's saying be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So again, a lot of times it's hot takes, it's outrage. The algorithms out there facilitating different videos or content to us, they know that outrage gets us. Outrage is a great way, like capitalizing on outrage, being quick to anger is a great way to get attention and to take advantage of that. But James is not saying, hey, this is just the way to get attention. He's saying, take note of this. This may be countercultural, but everyone should be quick to listen. If you're a follower of Jesus, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because we're not all about like just capitalizing on anger. As we think about this, wouldn't you like to have a friend who exudes these characters, who's quick to listen, who's slow to speak and slow to become angry? When you're struggling with things, wouldn't you just love to be able to talk to somebody who had these qualities, who will give you that attention and really wants to hear what you're having to say and is not just going to fly off the handle or get angry or get anxious if you share with them some vulnerable things or some things that you're struggling with? Now, I want a friend like this, so maybe I'm projecting. And again, you can feel free to disagree with anything I say. That's cool here. But I want a friend like this. And I was thinking about this couple in the church who I enjoy talking with, who came to my mind when I was thinking about, who do you like talking with? Now, in the couple that I was thinking with, they're not big talkers. They don't try to monopolize a conversation. That's my job, right? They don't spend a lot of time trying to be interesting or making other people think that they're interesting, but they seem like they're interested. And they're quick to listen, and it just feels safe and kind of comfortable to be able to talk with them, that they're quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And even though, again, they're not big talkers, they're great listeners, and they're a real pleasure, and they're nothing but a blessing to me and my family. Maybe that's you, maybe not, that's not you. But as we kind of think about what it would look like for us to be listeners, and as we try to like share Christ with others or try to live out our faith, it's compelling for some people. It's compelling for some. Listen to Matthew 13:15. Because Jesus, while the world glories those who get attention, Jesus noticed and blessed those who are overlooked and underappreciated. So if you're underappreciated or overlooked, the Gospels are full of stories where Jesus looks and notices the people who are overlooked and underappreciated. So you may not be overlooked by God, by the Lord, but Jesus noticed them and he blessed the overlooked and the underappreciated. Jesus and Isaiah both. Jesus was using Isaiah the prophet's words to criticize people who talk a good game but don't listen. And some of the words he said were in Matthew 13:15, quoting from Isaiah. These were about the religious leaders, again, who were talkers. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. In contrast, Jesus comments in verse 16, but blessed are you, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Now, listening may not be the perfect way to capitalize. It can lead, it can help, I don't know. But listening may or may not be profitable, but blessed, it is blessed, and it is a blessing when you have ears that hear. You can really bless people if you listen to them. There's some people that are desperate for somebody to listen. Now, listening is something that anyone can do. You have the capacity to do it, but not everyone does. And not everyone does it well. Many feel, we live in a culture where many feel like no one listens to them. And that is not unique to the United States in 2026. It's kind of the way that things are often. Paul talked about, the Apostle Paul, who planted lots of church, talked about one of his most valuable ministry partners in Philippians 2. And this is what he said about this partner in Philippians 2:19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Now, Paul has Timothy with him. He's a valuable partner in ministry. That I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. And he's showing why he's sending Timothy, why he's chosen Timothy from this congregation that he loves in Philippi. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy's genuine concern and listening spirit were remarkable then. And if you become a good listener, there might be more power in it to bless others than you think that there is, if you learn how to become a good listener with the Lord's help. Now, as we think about listening, one of the things I want to fast forward to here is that at the end of his life, Paul started getting desperate, and he wanted Timothy to come back. So he prayed and he asked Timothy to be the one to come back, because Timothy was one who showed genuine concern. He was a listener. You can't listen to everyone. As we wrap things up, and the worship team's going to come up, but you can't listen to everyone. I can't listen to everyone. On a Sunday morning with about 100 people, like, I can't listen to everyone. You can't listen to everyone. But man, if a few of us listen to someone, because you can listen to someone and I can listen to someone, if a few of us do that, then probably there's someone who's going to get some attention and going to be blessed by our attention. So the question as we wrap this up is, and thinking about listen, and maybe if we want to apply this by blessing somebody, by listening to them, will you be a person who blesses someone by listening without monetizing? Will you give the gift of listening? Will you give the gift of showing genuine concern? Will you live out the Shema of hearing and being quick to listen? Will you have blessed ears that hear? Will you pray with me? This is the prayer of the Shema. Shema, listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. May we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. May we love our neighbor as ourself. Show us to listen to our neighbor. Help us to show genuine concern for our neighbors and bless our neighbors. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name.